Das hat er remember anymore. But I was very sad at her getting married, very sad.
Now, you said that Edie said to her father the night before her wedding that she didn't want to go through
No. That was the day she was getting married.
Did you hear her say that?
I was sitting up on the bedroom. I was waiting. I was her only bridesmaid, of course. And everybody else had gone to church. None of the Thompson family came to the house. Now, I can't remember if Richard Thompson was Percy's best man. I can't remember about that. If so, that's about... He'd been to our house once or twice, because I'd been out with him several times, but I didn't like him, and he apparently didn't like me, which is a good thing, isn't it, now? And I was sitting up on the bed where Edie was sitting, and Dad came up to me and said, come along, they're waiting for you. The car was waiting to take me to church, and she said, I can't go through with it. I don't want to go. Well, I think my daughter had said that, I don't think I'd have let her go. And Dad, I remember my father saying, we must have, everybody's at the church waiting for you. I think if my daughter had said that to me, I don't think I would have let her go.
Did she seem distressed?
Well, she wasn't herself. As far as I can remember, she was not what the bright and breezy and pale
excited
Mary
bride.
And...
She wasn't excited.
No, wasn't it? Which you would expect a girl to be, would get getting married, wouldn't you, to be? And especially the first in the family.
Mm. And you said she wore a navy costume.
Navy costume. And as far as I can remember, I think she had a cream blouse, and the collar came over the shoulder. He was hung on, and she'd worked flowers on the points here. And she had, maybe knew that, what was known then as Russian boots. And they did up on the inside, on the outside, with big tassels hanging. They were black patent, and they had only just come into force in those days. I've not the faintest notion what I had. I only know I had a huge bunch of artificial palmer violets that she pinned on me before I left the bedroom. Mm. And what flowers she had, I just couldn't tell.
What time of the day was this?
Oh, it'd be midday.
And then you went off to the church, and was there music at the church and so on?
I believe the choir was playing. And I believe the bells were on. Have you seen the Brown Hill Road? Did you imagine?
Well, I'm going to take you there.
Yes, yes.
next week.
Oh.
Because I'd like you to show me.
Yes.
And I intend asking the vicar to get out the register sometime so that I
to
can
show
see it.
Yes.
How many people were at the wedding?
Well, there was a lot of people inside the church, but I think there were only 20 at the breakfast.
Yes.
You see, because we had the breakfast at home.
At 281?
Yes.
At Shakespeare Crescent?
Yes, we had the breakfast at home. It was all time.
Were there food shortages then?
Yes, we were rationed.
So can you remember, how did your mother manage to prepare the meal?
Well, I've never known how my mother got the money or the piece of beef that we had cooked. I think we had beef, did we? I think we had beef and ham. My mother cooked it. And all the vegetables, the neighbour next door looked after it while we were at the church, you see. And so there was somebody there.
Oh, a proper big hot meal.
Oh,
that
yes. Champagne, we had it all.
And then how long did that go on for?
Oh, I think they left somewhere about 5 or 6 o'clock at night.
Can you remember what Edie's mood was then? I mean, how did she behave? How did she seem?
Well,
can you remember?
She was much brighter than she was before she was married.
Mm. She cheered up, had she?
Yes, she cheered up a lot.
Yes.
But I wouldn't say that she was what we would call Edith Graydon.
Was Percy attentive towards her? Were there shows of affection or what?
Yes. Well, you see, in those days you didn't show your affection.
You didn't hold hands?
No. You didn't see anybody holding hands. You think there was something wrong with it.
And when, and then how did they leave, and when did they leave?
Well, I had a car come for them, you see.
A hired car?
Hired car. Take them to East Ham station, and they caught the train from East Ham to Westwick. probably change the barking, that he can get the through change from barking to South End, or to Westcliff, as the case may be.
Mm.
Get out at Westcliff, and you go up the Canewden Road, and Retreat Road is about the third turning on the right.
But that must have been a bit difficult for Edie to travel in to town every day. Didn't it make her tired?
About an hour. And of course they were very good to her. I mean to say, where other people had to be in at nine. Carlton used to come up from Westcliff himself in those days.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yes. Oh, they had a lovely shop in the what's the name of the road? The main road from the station.
In Westcliff. Is that how Edie came to go to Westcliff? Is that the association was with Mr. Prior?
No,
well,
it might have been that, I wouldn't know.
And then she went straight to work
on
the next Monday.
And he went into the army.
And how long was he away? Do you know?
Now, he joined the London Scottish on the Monday, and the whole of the people that were with him went over on the February. And I used to correspond with one of the men, you see, and they were all killed here on the last Battle of Flanders, London Scottish, all just slaughtered.
But was Percy considered to be unwell?
No.
By everybody?
No.
Because he apparently, I mean, why would he have been discharged from the army?
He did that himself, smoking. He was fit as a fiddler. He passed A1 to go into the army, and he said when he got in, I'll never go abroad. I'll get my discharge.
But what's this about him having heart trouble?
Never had any heart trouble as far as I know. Only through smoking.
Mm. So you're saying he was a coward, really?
Oh, very, very.
Great. The sort of man that the women would have given a white feather to.
Anybody could have gone a fight by him. Anybody.
Well, what did your father think of that?
Well, he didn't think much of it at all.
Did he ever say anything about it?
No, he never said anything about it at all.
But was there a feeling in the family that he was somehow not doing his duty?
Yes. Why should my father's sons go and he not go? Oh, there was a stand-up fight once in our dining room between Mr. Warren. This is the man that was the mason that, what's his name, said, if you've got £100, your daughter will be free. This is the man whose two sons went. And there was a fight between him and Percy Thompson in our dining room.
An argument?
Yeah.
About the war?
Yeah.
Do you know what Edie thought about the war? Or what did Edie think about Percy not going to war?
Well, I think she was rather pleased that he didn't go. Although, on the other hand, it would have been a blessing if he'd have gone and been killed. You know what I mean? It would have been better than this, because I don't care however bad or however ill a man is or anything like that. I don't think he deserved the death that he had.
No, it was a terrible death. It was terrible.
I wouldn't say anything if it had stabbed him once. But why didn't he come and tell my parents?
Mm.
If he'd, mind you, I think myself, what he must have seen in that house made him bitter like he was. But then he'd no right to be bitter.
No. Well, do you think that Edie was goading him on?
Well, it looks like it by her letters, doesn't it?
Mm.
It looks like that. This is what I can't understand. If he was writing to her, telling her to do this and that and the other, poisoning him, he must have known she wasn't doing it, because he couldn't have lived, could he?
Mm.
Now, you see, there was no trace of poison in his body or anything.
Did you go to Percy's funeral?
That I can't tell you.
No?
I can't tell you. I don't think any of us went.
He's in the Manor Park Cemetery, isn't
he?
You've never been there?
No, he's in the City of London.
Ah.
He was in the City of London Cemetery, and they didn't like the place that we had put him in. So after his body was exhumed for scenic reasons, they had him buried in some other part of it.
Mm.
You see, it was a shocking day. And whether the first stab killed him or not, I don't know.
Yes, they think so.
Yes.
It was, you know, the first two or three that really finished him very quickly.
Oh.
He died very quickly.
No person, doesn't matter who they are or how whatever bad they've been or anything like that deserves a death like that.
Where are your parents buried?
In City of London.
Same cemetery?
In City of London. I haven't been there since I've been like this. Haven't been able to see to it.
Would you like to go and see to it?
Well, it may be in a shocking state. It's very near those. Remember those? Oh, you probably wouldn't. Those three policemen who were shot in the City of London.
Oh, that was in the 40s?
Yes.
I don't remember it. No. I mean, I remember reading about it.
And in those days it doesn't convey anything to you, does it?
They're buried there too, are they?
Yes. Yes. But,
You remember, did Edie, from the time she was arrested and knew that Percy was dead, did she ever express any feelings about it?
No, she was too upset. As far as we was concerned, the family was concerned, you see, there was, when she was down here at Ilford, there was always the matron there. And you weren't allowed, she was further away from us than you are from me. Even down here.
In the police station?
Yes. And you see, when we went to Holloway, there was a long table. She was this end and we were here. And one or two of the people who were in charge of her, when we went, very good, and let my father and mother and I go further down the table, and actually went up and kissed her.
How often did you go and visit Edie when she was in prison for those 3 months?
Every time we were allowed to.
And how often was that?
I think that was about twice a month.
At all?
Yes, yeah, she weren't allowed.
And how long were you with her, do you remember?
Oh, half an hour.
Can you remember the conversations that you had?
Well, you weren't allowed to have any conversation, because if you asked her anything that they didn't want you to, her to know, they tell you, you mustn't say that to your daughter. You see...
How did she behave when you first saw her? Can you remember the first time you saw her?
Yes, well, she was in tears, of course, seeing us after being kept away. But I believe she was in the hospital the whole time, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yes. We never saw her in hospital. She was always in a room by herself with a wardress. And I must say, they were all very good. They were kept away, you know, a long way away from us.
Did she talk normally?
Well, there was nothing much to talk about.
What did you talk about?
We did the talking, you see.
What would you tell her about?
We would ask her how she was and where she was and what she might have to eat or something like that. Did anybody come to see her? Who had been to see her? People used to write into the governor and ask if he could see her.
What did she say about the food?
Oh, the food was very good. I rather doubt it myself, but still, it might be good to a person.
Maybe she just wasn't able to complain.
Right, you see.
Was she allowed to talk about the case?
No, she never spoke about it. Never spoke.
She never mentioned Freddie or Percy ever again?
Never, while she was in there, never mentioned them at all. Not once.
And now, who took the news to her of the fact that her appeal had failed?
Oh, the governor. Governor does that.
Were you allowed to see her straight away?
Oh, yes, we were allowed to see her straight away. And we were allowed to see her the night she was convicted. We went down to the cell or the room.
At the Old Bailey?
Yes.
And what happened there?
Well, we just spoke to her, you see, she was crying, but we weren't allowed to go near her. I think they were afraid we were going to poison her.
Or give her something that she could
take. Some don't. The government or the police authorities were so sure that she was going to confess to doing this and knowing it, you see, that they were afraid to let anyone go too near her.
But when she was weeping after she'd been sentenced,
yes,
was it hysterical weeping?
Yes, yes.
She was hysterical?
Yes, very hysterical, yes.
Loud screaming?
Oh, yes, yes, very, very hysterical. She wanted to come home with us.
Did she hold on to any of you?
Hold on to my father. Hang on to him.
That must have been terrible for him. It must have been really terrible.
Well,
who was down there with her?
Mother. There was two policemen.
What, her counsel?
Yes. There were two policemen very near her. And there was her counsel and mother and dad. Now, I'm not sure if Auntie Lily and Uncle Jack were there. I'm not sure. I believe they were the last there at the trial.
And did she start screaming as soon as she saw you all?
Yes. She put her arms out to my father like that.
And what did he do, poor man?
He couldn't, because the police stopped him.
He was not allowed to touch her, so they restrained her.
They were so afraid that we would give her something.
And how long did that go on for?
Oh, only a few minutes. As far as we're concerned, we were bundled out. And I think my father was so bad, his brother took him across the road to a public house right opposite the... and bought him something, whiskey. He never touched brandy. I think he took him across there. I think he took him out there before we came out.
But what? Who was the most upset then, if one could say, between your mother and your father?
Oh, I wouldn't like to say.
I mean, which one appeared to be the most destroyed by it?
Well, you see, I think my mother, as a woman, you're always the stronger in those times, and I think, you know, she hung on to my dad like a little child, and I was the other side of him. You see, we came out there, and it just didn't register.
No.
It didn't. We came out there, and we got on a bus, train, or whatever.
Was there a crowd of people watching you leave?
Yes. And there was a lot of photographers there, and I had a big fur wrap that she had given me, beautiful thing, deeper than that, and ever so long. And this man trying to take photographs of me, and I wrapped it round my face like that, and he got down on the ground to try and get underneath me. I nearly pushed him over. I didn't know I had, but I nearly did.
So really, it didn't really hit you?
No. You see, it didn't really register at all. And then when you get the evening paper, which my brother would bring, I believe my elder brother was in the court. I believe he was.
Really?
You see, we've got our jobs to look after.
Didn't they allow you time off?
I was told I could go for this, and so
you weren't there every day?
No. So long as the their firm's name didn't come out, I could stay in the firm. But if it came out, instant dismissal.
So you were not in the court every day?
No, I wasn't.
You had to go to work?
Yes, mother
could
and dad.
Could you work?
Well, what could you do? You've got to go there, haven't you?
But people were so inhuman.
Yes, you see. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about you. You're here to pay to do a job, and here you've got to be.
So you really only went to court when you had to appear as a witness?
Yes, and I had to.
And you were allowed to go when Edie was sentenced?
I was called, you see, and I just had to go in and say, could I have the time off? I had to go and ask if I could have the day off of the day of the execution. If I was having it. It was quite a toss-up whether I was going to go or not. I would have walked out. I would have gone. If I'd have been told no. This is this one director. There were five brothers in the firm, you see. And this was this one there. And he said, all the other directors, I'd heard from an engineer, and he said, they all say, except Arthur, so long as you continue to do your work as it's been all these years, you can stay here.
Now, on that last day, you told me before that you really weren't expecting her to be. Were you expecting her to be found guilty?
No. On the evidence. How could you convict her?
So none of you were expecting it.
You
and
see,
when it came, can you remember what you felt?
Well, I couldn't believe my ears.
Were you sitting in the public gallery?
No, we were sitting downstairs. We had here was the counsel. There was the witness box. It was Freddie and two male warders. There was my sister with two female wardresses. And we were sitting somewhere here.
Mm.
No, nowhere near the gallery.
You were sitting in the well of the court.
Yes, I think that must have been...
Oh, can you remember what you were sitting there with your mother and father, and who else?
I believe my Uncle Jack and Auntie Lily were there.
And would Mrs. Bywaters have been there as well?
I never ever remember seeing her. I expect she would be.
So neither of you didn't talk to each other?
No.
And the Thompsons?
I don't think Richard Thompson ever went. I don't think he's mentioned at all. You see, in the trial?
Yes, he is. He gave evidence.
Oh, did he? Mm. I never remember him going there.
And then when she was sentenced, do you remember what you did? What happened?
Well,
did you look at Edie, or what did you do?
No, they took her away. As soon as she was sentenced, they took her away.
Did you watch her when they were sentencing her? What did you do?
We were sitting down there, you see, and I'm sure my parents had expected the foreman, the jury, to say she wasn't guilty.
Mm.
They must have said he was guilty, but I thought he would get away with 10, 20 years.
Do you have any recollection of them sentencing her to death?
Oh, yes. I remember seeing this man putting this piece of square on his head.
Well, who were you looking at, him or at Edie?
Well, I was looking at him, you see. And then after he'd sentenced, we looked at Edie, and she more or less slumped.
And then they dragged her down the stairs,
dragged her down the stairs, you see.
Was she silent or was she crying?
Beg pardon?
Was she silent when they took her out?
Oh, yes, quite silent. Right.
She said, "Oh God,
I'm not guilty."
Oh God, she said first.
I'm not guilty.
Then they took her down.
I'm not guilty.
Well, now the very last time that you saw her.
Yes, well now that would be.
Do you remember it clearly?
Yes, she'd got a green uniform on. Because each time we saw her, she got a different uniform on.
Prison uniform.
Yes, and this was a green one, I feel sure. The last one we saw her in.
What time of the day was it?
Oh, we went in the afternoon. We never went in the morning.
And can you remember what happened on that occasion?
Well, we went in, you see, and she was there. We went into a different place each time we saw her. She was not in the same room. And, of course, they greatly guarded her that time. There was none of us going up to kiss her.
Were you not allowed to kiss her goodbye?
Well, we did before we came out. My father asked if he could. He didn't say kiss her goodbye. He said, could we just kiss her, you see? And there was this tall lady that was always very nice to us, and two juniors. I should stand beside her, I suppose they were in case we gave her something. But we've got nothing to give her.
No, of course not.
And what would have
been? But was Edie's behaviour different on that occasion than from any other occasion?
She was very sad, but I think she was too doped. I don't believe she knew who we were.
Was she dazed?
Very dazed.
Did she walk in when you were already in the room?
No, she was always sitting there.
She was sitting there?
Always.
And how did she, can you remember what she said and how did she say it?
I can't remember what
was she so doped that that she didn't speak normally?
I don't think she spoke at all to us the last time. She was so thoroughly doped.
She just sit there looking at you?
Yes. We just asked her how she was, and I can remember my dad saying, well now, don't worry about it. He said, you'll be home with us tomorrow night. Something like that.
Your father said that? Yes. Why did he say that?
Well, what can you say to her? What could you say? Could you say goodbye, my dear? This is the last time I'm going to see you.
Well, he knew it would be.
Well, of course, he knew.
And so did she.
Yes. I don't know. I don't think she did. Because they said the morning of the execution, there was a great struggle. She was kicking and frantic and fighting them all.
So she knew.
Yeah, so she must have known. I think then they'd let the drug die out of her. Especially for the execution. That's what I think. They doped her so much for us to see her the last time. And then they let the dope die out of her.
Well, so you were all allowed to kiss her goodbye.
Yes.
Do you remember what you said to her?
No, I can't remember. I remember putting both my arms round her and kissing her like that.
Did she respond?
Yes, she responded. You see? Now you see, that man Ellis, he never did another execution afterwards, did he? When that woman, Miss Ellis was her name, the last woman who
Ruth
was
Ellis.
Ruth Ellis.
The last woman who was executed was Ruth Ellis.
Yes, well now, she had a different man from the name we had.
Well, she had Pierpont, who was in fact a learner at the time of Edie's death.
Who was the man that we had?
I don't know.
Didn't we have Pierpont?
I think you did have Pierpont.
And ours was the last he did. He said after that he would never do another one and retired. And they had to appoint another one for Ruth Ellis.
So you think that they doped Edie in order to keep her quiet for that last meeting that you all had together?
Yeah, she was definitely, I would say, don't tap to the hill.
Where were you when she was executed? Where were you all, you and your mother and father in Newnham? Where did you wait for the execution?
We weren't there in the prison.
No, where were you? Were you at home or were you... You were waiting at home?
At home.
Can you remember what happened that night? Can you remember what happened when you left the prison after you'd seen her? Did you come...
We came home.
And who was there? You, your mother and father? Not Newnham?
No, no.
Why not Newnham?
No. I don't know, you might not have been able to get the time off, you see. He might not have asked for it. And you don't know what the firm might have said to him.
So it was just you three?
Yes.
And then do you remember what you did?
Well, we came home. And I remember making a cup of tea the very first thing. I remember my father sitting there, putting his clothes on the hall stand as we came in, sat down and made a cup of tea. And how many hours we were drinking this cup of tea, I couldn't tell.
Were you silent all the way home?
Yes. No, never said a word to each. We were so... It was out of the blue that she was convicted. And then to think that these people, Christmas time, they hadn't got time to bother with her. With the appeal. They just don't have time to bother with her. It was Christmas time. Let's get away and get away with it all.
So you all stayed at home together. Did any of you sleep that night?
Never sleep at all. My father, I remember my father going out and getting some whiskey for my mother because she was in such a state. Whether he had any himself, I don't know.
Was Newnham there then, in the evening?
Yes, she was there.
Did anybody come to the house?
No, nobody came to
the house.
They
left you alone?
Yes, left us alone.
Is that what you wanted?
Well, the people next door, Mr. and Mrs. Bristow, they lived at 229. They came in to see how, Mr. Bristow came in to see how we were, you see. And that was all. We had a gate that used to come at the back, that used to come in, you see. And he came in. He popped his head through the window to see we were all right. I suppose the house was quiet. He wondered what had happened. Mm. And he came in. See, and I believe it was he. I don't think my father went out. I think it was he who brought the bottle of whiskey in and said to my mother and father, you must have a drink.
Mm. And then you, in the morning, I mean, you all went to bed, did you?
Oh, yes.
And you got up?
Yes, in the morning.
And what were you thinking about when you got up? Can you remember?
We had to go, of course, to the inquest. Mm. My father had to identify her, I think.
Did he want to do that?
He couldn't. He couldn't help himself. No. He didn't want to do it, but he couldn't help himself. He was her father.
So you, what time did you go to the prison for the inquest?
We went in the afternoon.
I mean, did you actually take her death in the morning? I mean, what were you, you know, were you thinking it's now 9 o'clock?
Yeah. 9 o'clock. And then you heard the bell go and... You know, you could hear it in your mind's eye. The bell going to say that she'd been executed. Then all the paper boys came out, crying this, that and the other. But I must say they were very good. They seemed to keep out of our road that day, our end of it.
So you all had to get in the public transport again and go all the way to Holloway.
Yeah. We went from here to Liverpool Street Station. And then I think we went on a bus, I'm not sure. My father would take us, of course, I wouldn't know.
Mm. And what happened when you got there? Had the crowds dispersed?
Oh, it was a crowd, the mob.
Still there?
Yeah, the mob at the outside end of it. I was wondering if they were going to be hostile to us, you see. Because after all, you've got to look at it from the point of view of Percy Thompson's side, haven't you? Have they ever been able to trace Ethel Hull as she was, Mrs. Richard Thompson?
I haven't tried, and I don't think Sylvia will bother. I don't know that I'll try. I don't really know what I'll do.
Because they lived here, you know.
Yes. She probably... Well, one could make inquiries.
I believe I saw in the Orford Recorder some years back that he died.
Mm.
Now, he seemed to be much more clever than Percy Thompson.
So then when you got to Holloway, What happened next?
There was a crowd around there. And you know, these people don't open the door like you open the door.
Oh, I know.
You wait there. Mm. Well, a friend of mine went to see a friend of hers in there. She knocked three times. And then she banged, kept banging on the door when the man opened the door. Because she doesn't know who I am, so this made me laugh, you think. She said to me, oh, so you are here? I can see the funny side of this. She said, she didn't know who I was.
But you knocked on the door and went through the little door.
Oh, yes. And then we
and waited in the hall there.
Yes, for some time. There was a box with another man in it here, which he, I don't know what he would be. And then a little further down, there was another box, which I thought was the governor's room.
Mm-mm. Governor's room is way up in the...
Oh, is it? Yes.
And then what did they do? How did they treat you and where did they take you?
Oh, they just called out, Graydon's. Not Mr. Graydon and his wife. Graydon's. Another time a man called out, Mrs. Johnson's father. It's all right, is it?
And so you all got up?
Yes.
And went where?
We had a water scum. No, he took us, a man. Took us down to this room where she would be in, where we would have our interview for 20 minutes, quarter of an hour. And then we would come out. And my father would be most polite to him and say thank you, goodbye, and all that kind of thing. Just look at him as much as say, you were just a lump of dirt.
But where did they take you for the inquest? Was it a different place or the same room
We went downstairs, I think. A long way out of what I call the prison.
Yes.
Across a yard.
Yes.
I saw her. I've never forgotten it. I never will. I don't know what she'd done, poor thing. She was in a striped uniform. She wasn't very young. She'd got a big truck and she'd shoveled coal into coal, coal boxes. She's putting them from the floor into this lorry. And there she was pushing it along. And she was chained by the ankle towards us. Never forgotten it.
Was it raining?
No, it wasn't raining.
Just cold.
Was it?
Just cold.
Yes, yes. And this woman had got cold. She'd been shoveling coal in the coal scuttles. And then there was that other poor girl we saw, I don't know what she'd done, the gate was open, and she must have knocked the mug of water away and spilled all over, and a lump of bread about that size looked like Sailor's Harry. And I remarked about it, and this wardress that was us went and shut the main door, not the iron door, but the door that you can't see. Oh, shocking. What is this treatment like in prison?
These days. You went across this yard and you saw these people, and then you went into this room, all three of you.
Yes, yes, the three of us. We were all three together.
And what, can you remember, what did you see when you walked into this room?
There was nothing in it but this one, this long table. And she was sitting at the end with two wardresses.
No, that's when you went to visit her. I'm talking now about when you actually went to the inquest, after the execution.
As far as I can remember, I think there was a room full of men. I'm not sure.
Yes.
A room full of men. Most of them shook hands with my father and mother. I don't know who they'd be.
There'd be all sorts of government officials. The governor and... Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the sheriff of works and people like that.
We came up from that room. I think we came upstairs to another room. And my father asked for his daughter's fur coat and wedding ring. We were ages trying to get it. This man kept putting us off. Couldn't get the number.
Had you seen Edith yet by then or not?
No, this was after she was executed.
Yes, but you went and kissed her goodbye.
Yes, I asked if I could. She said yes, but don't touch her.
But this was before you got... When you asked for the ring and the coat, had you already seen her?
Yes, yes. The inquest was over, and my father was asking for her coat and her ring.
Well, when you went into the room for the inquest, what was in this room? Just Edie lying on a table?
No, in a coffin.
In a coffin?
Oh, yes, she was in a coffin. Yes, in a coffin, and all this nice white frilling round here, you see, And this lady, she'd been several times, we'd seen her several times when we went to see Edie, so I think she must have been somebody, you know, not just an ordinary wardress.
And what had they dressed her in, and what had they done with her hair?
Edie, I suppose it's buried with her.
But she just looked the same as she always looked.
Yes, of course, you can't see any hair. They put one of these kind of coughs around you, don't they? Take the hair off.
Well, they don't anymore, but they probably did in those days. Yes. So you didn't see her lovely hair?
No. It was only just her face, and not even her hands. Her face. And I said, could I kiss her? And she said yes, only on her forehead. And after that, my mother and father did. If I hadn't have asked, we wouldn't have been told we could have kissed her.
Was that the first time that you could actually believe that she was dead?
Yes, and sometimes I can't believe it now. No. Do you know, sometimes I think, I'll go to that door and she'll be coming in. I do. Mm. I know it's fantasy, but I do sometimes think that.
Well, even I find it difficult to believe.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I often think to myself, one of these fine days she'll be at the door. You see, if she...
Where did you get your information from that Edie was dragged, kicking and screaming?
It's into the paper. Death?
Well, I know, but, you know...
Well, no, I tell you where I got it from. Mostly from, what's his name, Pierpoint, the executioner? He said he'd never do it again.
Did you talk to him?
No.
You read it?
When he retired after my sister's case. Mm. And then he was writing his memoirs. And he said he'd never do it again, not for anybody. He retired. After seeing her.
Because you see, I've read two different reports about what happened to Edie on the morning of her death. And it's important because I think that the way she behaved indicates her real innocence, because I know from the deaths of other people,
yes,
who have committed crimes,
yes,
like this,
yes,
like Ruth Ellis,
yes,
their own execution comes as a relief to them,
yes,
because it's a way in which they feel they're paying for,
yes,
what they've,
yes,
done. Now, Edie, I'm told in the paper that the night before she died, she was had to be drugged,
yes,
to take her through the night.
Yes.
And in the morning, one report says that she was, I mean, Filson Young says that she was pretty well insensible,
yes,
when they took,
yes,
her to die.
Yes.
Others said that she struggled.
Yes. Well, now, I read a memoirs of Pierpoint, you see, because it was interesting. Mm. And he said, she struggled and screamed and kicked, and he said he made up his mind there and then, never do anybody else, especially a woman. Do they have a different person for men?
No. So well, thank God they don't have anybody anymore. But
no. I think though, with the amount of crime that's coming back, they'll bring back the hanging, won't they?
I don't think so ever. Don't think they'll ever bring it back.
Now, the point comes, you take a man who gets 20 years, he goes in at 30, so vivacious, and she being anything, oh yes, come on, let's do this, let's help all we can.
I think that perhaps the terrible, shocking thing for all of you was that she was leading a double life.
Yes, you see, I could never understand, my great point was, I could never understand why Curtis Bennett didn't bring it more to the fore. There was no poison in his body, there was no powdered glass, as they were saying, and there was no this and that. Why didn't he stress that point? He didn't seem to stress that. Mm. To my mind, he seemed to lose interest in the case.
Mm.
I
you didn't go to the you didn't go to the law courts in the Strand for the appeal, or did you?
No.
Who went?
No, I didn't go.
Did your parents go?
I think my father went. I think my father went.
Yes.
But I didn't go. You see, I'd never got another job. Well, not that it mattered. And of course, there wasn't the unemployment money in those days. I'd never got another job.
Do you know who informed Edie that Percy was actually dead?
Oh, it must have been the police. I don't think, was he dead when that doctor attended him?
Mm.
Oh,
but they didn't tell Edie that.
No,
and Edie, in fact, thought he was alive. She kept talking about when are they going to bring him back.
Yes.
She had no idea
no,
that he was dead.
No. You see? I wonder what gave Richard Thompson the idea for Nearby Waters, did it?
He must have known something about what was
something
going on.
He must have done.
Because he also said to the police that he never understood how Percy tolerated it.
Yeah.
Which implies that he knew something about it.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Maybe he saw them in Wanstead Park, or maybe they saw a lot of each other when Freddie was staying in the house with them.
Yeah.
When Freddie was staying in the house with them, you know, from, it was sometime in July through to the August bank holiday, mm-hmm. for a couple of months,
wasn't it?
Yes. Did you ever go
to Edie's
at that
time? Edie and Percy were going to a theatre, and they asked me if I'd like to go and have tea with Freddie. I said, well, it was there by himself. It's no entertainment for me. And I think I saved it at about 9. Then I came home. See, he didn't.
But you went there less often, did you, when he was there? Because normally you went very often.
I always saw my sister one day in the week for a lunch. My father insisted that she came down once a week.
Well, where did you meet for lunch, usually?
Well, we used to go to Fuller's in St Paul's Churchyard, and we had a little lunch with a coffee and a biscuit and a sandwich and ice cream, you know.
Yes. Then she'd come to the whole family on Friday nights.
And she'd come Friday night. She'd sometimes come laden with shopping that she'd bought from the city. Which, you see, in those days, we didn't get Saturday off.
Did Percy ever help her with shopping or anything?
Not that I ever know of. She always did it herself. You see, men didn't do things in those days.
Did she show any sign of resenting it?
No.
She accepted that it was her job.
Yeah, that's her job.
So she had two jobs?
Yes, she had two jobs, you see. She accepted these things. Well, I married and I wanted to go to work for as long as I could. And I must accept it.
Why did your father insist that she visited every Friday?
And not every Friday. He would see her one day a week. He would insist, and we never found out why he insisted. I don't think he ever dreamed of anything like this.
No, he just liked seeing her.
Yes,
she was his favourite
child. Daughter.
Yes.
You see, she's daughter.
And how did they behave towards Percy?
Well, quite normally. They treated him very well.
They didn't like him very much.
No, we never liked him.
Did Edie know that none of you liked
Percy? Well, I don't know if he liked it or not. My mother was one of those women that if she didn't like a person, she tried to cover it as best she could. He was always made one of the family. There was always something for him to eat. If he came down from the city, well, those men stop in the city at 8 o'clock at night, every Friday night of the week, yes, I don't think so. But my mother always made him very welcome, and so did my father.
You've described Edie very well as being very vivacious, and she spoke in a quiet voice.
Yes, very quiet.
She had a sense of humour. Now, how was Percy, generally?
He had a louder voice than she had, a managerial voice.
Bossy?
Yes, managerial voice, you see. But he used to come in, and sometimes he'd kiss my mother and say, how are you, mother? And sometimes just blow in.
Would you always kiss Edie?
In front of my parents, yes. Always on the side of the face.
And he always called her Edith?
We always called her Edie as a child.
No, but him, Percy, did he call her Edith?
Well, very seldom called her by anything at all.
And did she call him Percy?
Yes. Sometimes she called him Tommy.
Why Tommy?
Short for Thompson.
Ah. Did she have any particular expressions that were known to be Edie's? Did Edie...
No, I don't think so. I know sometimes she was talking about Tommy. I said, who was this man Tommy? She said, Percy. I said, what do you call him Tommy for? Well, she said, it's an abbreviation of his name, that's all. I said, that's not nice, is it? Because in those days you didn't abbreviate anything. I mean, say, in those days we didn't call anybody by their Christian name. It was always Mr. Mister. Well, until they were married, till the day they were married, I had to call him Mr. Thompson. My mother would say, go into the front room and say good evening to Mr. Thompson. Don't stay. Come out here. And then, if it was all quiet, And she'd pop in and see if everything was all right, you see. And all that kind of thing.
On how many occasions did you see Percy and Freddie together?
Only on the occasions when I was with them.
And that was in Shanklin, really?
And you see, he didn't come to...
he didn't go to Bournemouth.
Only at Shankly. That's what I said.
And that was 2 weeks?
Yes. The middle of 2 weeks of June. I cannot understand, because the two men went together, and my brother-in-law was nearly always drunk every night.
Did you see him drunk?
Yes. Well, drunk, he could hardly stand.
And what would he do? Would he be taken off to bed, or what would happen?
Just my sister would go upstairs to bed with him and say, you better stay in bed.
Did she ever mention that Percy was drunk?
No, well, it seemed. And that's why they came back from Jersey before their time was up, because he was always drunk.
You came back from Jersey?
They did. They went to Jersey for a holiday, and my sister didn't like it. She said, I came. I said, why did you come back at age two?
Percy.
And told Dad everything about all the rows we have had over me.
Over Edie.
All the rows you've had over you. Is you, me?
Over, it means over Edie and Freddie. That's a quote from her letter.
But she did not mention he said anything about the first real one on August the 1st. So I suppose she kept that back to suit his own ends. Dad said it was a disgraceful thing that you should come between husband and wife. And I ought to be ashamed. That means me.
No, but I think it means Freddie.
And I ought to be ashamed.
It's a quotation from, a direct quotation from a letter that Edie wrote Freddie. But what's more interesting for the point is what you say about Freddie on the night of the murder.
Yes, wait a moment. This is quite right about this bottle. I remember that quite well. But I thought I threw it in the... dustbin where the police got it out because they produced this bottle in the
trial. Yes.
They asked me if this was the bottle. I said yes.
Sort of blue fluted bottle.
I couldn't tell you what now it was, but it was that. Wait a moment. This is most interesting.
But on what occasion was that you went out with Freddie?
Came down one night and he said to me, I'm fed up tonight. Mother and Dad were in the kitchen dining room.
Yes.
Come and have a drink. And I said to my mother and father, they were both there, is it all right for me to go round to, what was the name of it? It was in the Church Road. What's the name of the place now? The Avenue Hotel. In the Church Road, Browning Road, and I went round there, and I think I had a Guinness. I don't know how long I was there, but I wouldn't have any more.
Well, what do you think of that evidence that was given in court?
Mr. Bryant was at my father and mother's house that evening, and I was at home. I should think he left about... I had known Mr. Bryant just for something Percy Thompson had done.
No, I think the bump was when she was walking with Percy, and Freddie pushed her into the wall. And in the scuffle, she fell against the wall, and it seems that she hit her head quite badly. But what about that evidence that you gave? What about that evidence? Do you have no recollection?
Oh, yes, I have.
It's come back to you now.
Oh, yes, it's come back to me. You see, I can't always grasp these things, and I was thinking, and you're quite right about Freddie coming down to our house the next night with a paper and laying it down on the table. I've thought it all out. She's a long while to think back. 50 years, it's quite... Oh, yes, this evidence is quite true. This girl, Ethel, Ethel Vernon, was my brother-in-law's sister's maid, first of all. My sister-in-law lived with his sister, his elder sister. No, Lillian, the younger sister.
She would have been Lillian Thompson.
She was Lillian Thompson.
She was... Percy's sister.
She was married to a most charming man. Most charming. The eldest son of a clergyman belonging to the Church of England in Stepney. Now, what was his name? Chambers. Kenneth Chambers, his name was. They were married, and within the first year they had this baby. He's still alive, he lives here somewhere. What's his name? Graham. His name's Graham. Graham Chambers. I think he's got 3 or 4 children. He was at Buckingham Palace the other year for something. He's in a bank somewhere, but I don't know where. And Edie and Percy lived with Kenneth for some time. But he was so bad-tempered and he got on so badly with his family that they came and got this house in Kensington Gardens. And then the maid went to live with them. And then that maid came to our place to say she stayed with us for some time until I think it was her brother from Penzance came up and brought her away.
So she worked for your parents then?
Yes, she worked for my parents.
After the tragedy?
Yeah. Yes, she worked for some time.
Working. Have you any idea why Freddie called her Paidy, P-E-I-D-I, this nickname that's in all the letters?
Instead of Edie.
Yes.
It was just some fad of his.
You never heard her use the name otherwise?
We always called her Edie.
Yes.
And later on in life, when she grew up, it's Edith.
Yes. So that was something that they cooked up between them.
Yes.
And what about the use of darlint instead of darling?
Never heard of this at all.
You remember in the letters she used
D-A-R-L-I-N-T? Yes. I can't understand this at all. This all seems to me to be so ridiculous. Because I'm getting on in life now, you see. And you don't view life quite so...
No,
can
quite.
Can I get you a cushion for
no,
that?
No, I'm fine, thanks. No. Also, Edie refers at one point to getting a flat in Chelsea. Now, can you remember what Chelsea meant to people in the 20s? She talked about getting a little place in Chelsea. Was Chelsea very different in people's minds from what it is now?
Oh, yes, Chelsea was the absolute it.
Ah. It was smart, was it?
Oh, yes. The smart set lived there. And people with money.
Yes. So she thought that was exciting.
Yeah. Well, I remember her saying that they thought of getting a flat. That was...
She's now talking actually about Freddie.
Yes.
Getting a flat with Freddie, not Percy.
No. What was going to happen to Percy?
They were just going to run away and live together and leave Percy on his own.
Not my sister.
That's what she's talking about anyway in the letters.
Not my sister.
Where was the Hippodrome?
On the corner here of Ilford.
Just here, by Gans Hill?
No, you know the high road, Ilford?
Yes.
Do you know the high road, Ilford?
Yes.
You know where the road crosses over into Ilford Lane?
Yes.
Well, just on the corner there.
I'll have to take you there to have a look and see what it's like these days.
We used to go there a lot.
Yes. She talks about it a lot.
Dad and Mum used to come. We go Friday nights.
Yes.
We go up in the horse.
Yes. Carriage, yes.
And then later on it was the buses.
Yes.
No, later on it was the trams.
Yes.
That pulled into the curb. You see. Then we came onto the double-decker buses.
Yes.
Open on top.
Yes.
You see.
Yes.
Then they get them covered.
Yes.
Oh, there's been a great change here in your
Yes, place. There has. Who were Bess and Reg?
Ah. Bessie. Now, I think their name was Aikam. His father was a big milkman in Dawson or Kingston Road. Bessie was the head clerk. She was the head of the office. Now, that would be, I think, at Louis London's.
Ah.
Clothiers.
So it was someone that she met at work.
Yes.
I see.
They were a sweet couple.
Yes, she seemed very fond of them.
Yes, and Bessie came down here to our house to stay several weekends. You see, when her husband was taken to service,
yes.
And he was sent up to the Orkneys. See? And here's a case that I've always remembered talking about not having badness. It's preventatives to me.
So you mean during the war to the soldiers?
Yes.
And
he, Ridge, sent them to Bessie to ask her what they were.
Oh no, really?
And she gave them to her father. I'll show you.
She also mentions racing quite a lot. She mentions betting on horses quite a bit, Edie, in her letters. Yes. She used to bet quite a bit, and she talks about Derby Day, and she actually mentions the horses that she backed on certain days.
We've always had a sweep at home Derby Day, always.
Yes.
Mother and Dad, and the children that were old enough.
Did anybody ever win very much?
What can you do if you only put about sixpence? You put a sixpence each way on a horse years ago. Mm. It was a fair amount of money, you know. Mm. It sounds ludicrous now.
Yes, well, she used to bet quite a bit.
I didn't know that. That's something I
don't you remember from her letters?
No, that I don't remember at all.
Now, you mentioned somebody, she says, in one of her letters, called Mel. M-E-L.
Oh, yeah.
Now, who is Mel?
Well, now let's bring in somebody else into it. This is one of the men that my father taught dancing.
Mm.
He taught dancing to the Henleys.
Mm.
The cable people.
Mm.
And this is one of the men.
Oh, I see.
She would come to every dance. She'd sometimes come to the evening instructions on a Friday night.
Yes.
You see, but not very often because of Percy.
But at that time, where was he giving the instructions? In the Crescent?
Oh, no, this was at...
Cripplegate Institute. Where was that? In Cripplegate. And Edie used to go there on Friday evening.
Sometimes.
Yes.
But when Henleys had their ball,
yes,
she was always invited. And he nearly always partnered her.
Uh-huh.
You see?
Who was Molly? You ever heard of Molly? Also refers to hair torture. She said, I'm prepared to go through hair torture. Do you know what that means? Did she ever do something in particular to her hair?
No, unless that was going to the hairdressers to have it washed and set.
Did she hate to have her having that done?
Yes, she never had it. She used to have it done at Katie's, or at Katz, they were called, K-A-T-Z, in...
Near Broad Street Station.
Broad Street Station there.
Yes.
I used to go there sometimes.
And she didn't like it.
No, because you see, we had long hair in those days, and it was such a job to dry it.
Yes. Yes. Would she have thought of cutting her hair?
Oh, no. Oh, no. I nearly got turned out of home when I came home with mine cut.
After 1925? Mm. That sounds like it, doesn't it?
I think so.
Because hair torture and saying, I'm prepared for a stand-up fight. It'll be rather fun.
That's right.
She must be talking about having her hair cut.
You see, and then she wanted to have her stuff.
Would she? Oh, you had yours cut before the tragedy.
Oh, yes.
How short?
We had a bob in those days, you see.
She doesn't mention that you've had your hair cut, no. Well, not in these letters. She may have mentioned it in some of the other letters.
Yes.
He says, I think Avis has just phoned me and asked to go and see Grandma, as I'm the only one she has not seen, and she keeps asking for me. I suppose I shall have to go, although I don't like it much. I'd far rather remember her as I saw her in the summer. They say she looks terrible now.
Now, where was Grandma? That would be my mother's mother, Grandma Lyles.
She must have been in Dalston.
Was she?
Dalston. Was she in Dalston or Stamford Hill or somewhere?
Oh, no. Granddaddy was pushed off the roof by a thief he nearly caught.
Yes.
And the fall is supposed to have brought on consumption.
Mm.
And the police doctor gave him 2 months to live.
Mm.
They moved from Dalston to Speen in Buckinghamshire. And Granddaddy lived 20 years. He was dying the day King Edward was buried.
Yes. Maybe at that stage she was still at Shakespeare Crescent then. But then if Edie was going there every Friday, she would have seen her. But she refers to not having seen her for some time. Yes. Now what about dancing in the non-stop? She mentions you dancing in the Non-Stop. Was this quite a thing in those days, to dance for hours?
You could dance the longest.
Where did they used to have those dances?
You're asking me now, I can't tell you. I forgot all about that.
You say she was a beautiful dancer, but she couldn't go because Percy wouldn't.
He wouldn't let her go.
Yes, and I suppose he was jealous of her being with other men.
He didn't like other men's arms round her waist.
Yes.
And of course in those days there was no dancing close to each other, you were a long way away.
Yes.
You could get a person in between.
Yes.
You see?
Here she says, we were talking of going as a set with our own partners, and Avis detailed them all until she came to me and hesitated, and I filled in the gap by saying, Bill. I felt like telling him who it really was, and perhaps had Avis not been there, I should have done, but I didn't want to endure any more scenes, especially in front of her.
Who's Bill?
I don't know. But does that mean that there had been many scenes in front of you before?
There must have been.
But you don't remember them?
No, I don't remember them to that extent. There must have been.
Or do you think that she specially didn't want you, who seemed to admire and love her so much, yes, did she specially not want you to know that things weren't all as well as they should be?
I think she must have known that I had an inkling that things weren't right. Because I think once something happened, I don't know what it was, and I said, I'm going to tell Dada when I go home. And she begged me not to.
What was it? Do you remember?
I can't remember. Mind you, I think most of this temper of my brother-in-law's was drink. Now, we worked till 1 o'clock Saturdays, as a rule. Sometimes he wouldn't come home till 4.
And where was he?
Well, I'm asking you, where was he?
Who lived at Stamford Hill?
My Auntie Lily and Uncle Jack.
And in Highbury?
Auntie Edie, whom my sister's named after, my mother's eldest sister. And in her day, she was the most beautifulest woman you could ever come across, my Auntie Edie. A beautiful woman. I've never seen anything. All these Gibson girls that they talk about, and the Vanderbilts and all that, weren't a patch on her. Weren't a patch. She was a beautiful. Now, we used to go from the office, me and some friends from my office, my elder brother and friends from his, to Highbury, to dinner to my aunt's. They had a long dining room at underneath the house, you see, and Auntie would get us a dinner. We would pay, mind you, but she'd have all the trouble of it. And then Uncle would come with us, because the football field was just round the corner.
Ah, the Arsenal.
Yeah.
I see, yes.
You see? And then when the Arsenal was all over, then the football was up, we'd come back and have tea. Then
did you used to go to the Arsenal to watch?
Yeah.
With Edie?
Yeah.
Did Edie go to the Arsenal?
Yeah.
Did she like football?
Well, I don't know about liked it, but her brother and sister were going, and we were going to aunties and uncles, and we all met, you see. And then, on occasion, my cousin, I think he was at Christ's Hospital then, he was a clever boy, very clever. And we went down to the bar at Highbury, which is a public house, and had a drink all together. I can't tell you what day, but it was. And then Leonard was home from school. One holiday time, or the Christmas of the case, Leonard was home from Christ's Hospital.
1922.
And we went down there. Mother and Dad, nor Auntie Edie or Uncle Fred, they never went. But Leonard said, come, let's have a drink. There's another person who'd have gone the wrong way if they'd had any money.
Where was the Waldorf?
Oh, that's in London.
Yes, where exactly? Do you remember where it was? Because it's been pulled down now.
Has it?
I should think so.
Oh, it's the corner of...
If it was on the... Oh, there's a hotel there called the Waldorf.
That is it.
It's the hotel, is it?
Yes.
Because I think that it's probably changed a bit now because they've... Or was it the new Waldorf that had been built at the time that they'd made Kingsway?
Oh, no.
But
I haven't seen the new one. I know the old,
Could
go in there and have a cup of tea and a cake for half a crown.
I see. That's quite expensive.
Quite. It was only the elite that could do that.
Well, she used to go there from time to time.
Sometimes, yes.
Where's the Café Marguerite? She mentions that as well.
Café Marguerite. I think that was in,
You and Edith?
Mother and Dad.
Yes.
And I.
Yes.
We never went anywhere out to dinner, except to Edith on a Sunday. We would go in an evening or something like that.
Yes.
Pinero's? What's the name of it? Not Frith Street. It wasn't in Frith Street. I think that's the place where the manager used to come round with a little basket. Primroses and violets.
At the Marguerite?
Yes, and give each lady, she could have primroses or violets.
But you don't know where it was? Is it in Soho?
Yes, it's in Soho somewhere. I don't know if it's standing now.
I shouldn't think so. I've never heard of it.
Haven't you?
No.
Oh, it was a lovely little place. Well, lovely as those days go.
Somewhere in Soho, anyway. Now, this may be part of her fantasy again. She's writing to Freddie, and she's saying that she was in the Café Marguerite. Have you guessed with whom I was? She's saying to Freddie. I presume it's Percy.
Yes.
If not, you will by the following conversation. Is your sister jealous of you? That's you.
Yes.
Me, my sister? Why should she be? He, it seems to me that you see more of her fiancé than she does herself. Then Edie says, how's that, and what do you know about it anyway? Then Percy says, well, I saw you going down Ilford Hill the other evening, and he was holding your arm. Did you go to a dance together? Is Edie just telling fibs again? But why does she call Freddie your fiancé?
I only ever went out once with him, and that was to have this drink. I wonder if she was trying to throw the scent off onto me. I never only went out with him that once. Although he was a very attractive man.
But why should she say that to Freddie? Because she's now saying to Freddie that he is your fiancé, isn't she?
And if he'd led her to believe that we were going to be, there was nothing in it. I mean to say, he used to come in.
Who's Mr. Burnage?
Oh, that's a sad, sad story. Now, I don't know how they met them, but Mr. Burnage, they lived here in Ilford, in Northcote Road, north. Went down here, just opposite the telephone exchange. He married the only daughter of a director of the... this is taking me back. Oh, what insurance company? Was the director of this insurance company. I'll think of the name later on. And they used to do all great things. They had dinner at night here, Saturday night or Sunday night, everybody turn up in evening dress and all this, that and the other. Well, her father died and then he showed himself what he was. It was one of those things you think was to be. Her father gave her this house in North Brook Road as a wedding present. And I think his name must have been on the deeds because he was selling it over her head and had forged her signature. And by a stroke of good fortune, this man who was buying knocked at the door one day and said, oh, I was passing, I thought I'd like to call in. Can I see Mr. Burnage? He said, no, he's gone to work. I'm Mrs. Burnage, what can I do for you? And then this man told her. He paid a deposit on the house.
When was that?
Oh, that was some years back. I can't tell you the date, but that was a very... And I can't tell you what happened to them. I think they had a German maid, and Mrs. Burnage was missing stuff out of the house and couldn't find out where it was. this maid lived in, but she'd apparently got a flat where she used to go to with Burnage. And when the police took up the case, there was all the missing stuff from, what's her name, Avis Burnage? No, that's the actress, isn't it? Mrs. Burnage, all the stuff that was missing from her house in this German girl's flat. And of course, when her father died, there was no more money coming, and they lived as ordinary people. Whether she divorced him or what happened, I don't know. Mm. Or whether she was still alive when our case came on.
Mm.
They lived here in Ilford.
Yes, well, that's very near to here.
In the North Hill Road.
Edie refers often to being selfish in her letters.
To her being selfish?
Yes. Do you think there was anything in her that was selfish or self-centred?
I used to say to her sometimes, you fancy your luck, don't you? You've got nothing to fancy your luck for at all. And we fall out.
Was she arrogant?
Oh no.
Well then what were you meaning when you said to her, you fancy your luck?
Well, she might look in the glass and say to herself, I look nice tonight, don't I? Don't be silly, I've never seen you look so bad in all my life. It's something like that. Mm. And we fall out. Or I'd say to her, I don't think much of that frock you've got on. I didn't like it on her.
So she didn't like it if you said something that was not complimentary?
No, she did. Well, she... I would say she would be a little bit proud in that way.
Mm.
She liked people to like what she'd got on. Mm. It didn't matter about her. It wasn't necessary that you should like her.
But that you should think she was smart.
She liked that. She was very, very smart. Very smart.
Mm. She also talks about New Year's Eve at 41, Kensington Gardens. Mm. She talks about the whole family going there. It says here, we were at 231 for the coming of the new year.
That's right.
Last night, that was in fact the 2nd of January, she says. All 231 came over and did not go home until gone 1, and then I had the clearing up to do. Now, do you remember that occasion? Yes, that's 1922. So you used to all spend New Year's Eve at 231?
Well, you see, as a rule, my father was doing the ball.
Where?
At the Savoy, the New Year's Eve ball. He was one of the MCs there.
Uh-huh. And what would the rest of you do?
Well, we couldn't go to the Savoy.
No.
Mother could go.
Yes.
But we couldn't go.
No, of course not.
We'd probably be out at a dance somewhere ourselves.
Do you not remember the last New Year's Eve that you all had together, 1922?
No. 1922.
The last one that Edie ever enjoyed, in fact.
Yes, I'm thinking of this. This is coming back from... We came back from shaking. And all that you heard. And then New Year's Eve then.
Now, she mentions, too, about Percy's illness and him getting up, him asking her to get up in the middle of the night to get him some water, and that he had insomnia, and that he was feeling ill, and that the next day she told you about it. Do you remember that? Do you remember about Dr. Wallace?
Oh, he was a lovely man.
Now, he was the family GP.
That's right.
And he was Edith's GP.
Yes.
But then he was involved in some kind of notorious case.
Well, he took a lady partner. Dr. Preston Wallace married the elder daughter of the head doctor, houseman or doctor. He was a big man at, I believe it was Guy's Hospital.
Hmm.
She was a perfect lady, tall, nearly 6 foot. Dr. Preston Wallace was so. He took a lady partner in. He was getting on. They hadn't any children. He must have been getting on. He'd been there for years and years. Everybody loved him. And this woman was married. And her husband was at college. And he came home and stayed at Dr. Wallace's, where his wife was, and whether he'd seen things going on that shouldn't have been going on and didn't like it, I don't know, but he took poison and killed himself.
Ah. Now, when did he last attend to Edie, do you know?
Well, she was then, she was going along the road one day, and he was coming along, because in those days he always walked.
This was in Shakespeare Crescent?
Yes, and he was talking to her, and she had a tooth that was going out from the gum here.
Yes.
So she said, open your mouth, let me have a look. Got hold of his nail like that and got the tooth out. She didn't even deliver it.
How old was Edie then?
Well, she'd be a schoolgirl.
Yes.
Got her, open your mouth, she said. There's another tooth there you don't want. Come in, the surgeon. And did it. He also performed an operation on my brother Bill.
Mm. Did Edie always have good health?
Oh, yes.
She never had any problems, no. Never went to hospital for anything.
No, thank God for that. I'm the only one that's been to hospital.
Well, that's also when you were getting on a bit.
Yes.
But you've had good health up until then.
Oh, yes.
She mentions you toasting Sally Lunns in front of the fire. What are Sally Lunns?
They're big, just plain buns, just brown one side and not quite so brown on the underneath. Mm. And you cut them up, they're like a, not so sweet as a bath bun, but something like that, but much bigger, Sally Lunns.
Did you used to have tea in front of the fire like that? Who's Mrs. Manning?
Oh, now, they're people, they advertised for someone to teach elderly people to dance. My father answered this advertisement. They lived at Brixton. He was had his own business, a bottle maker, all bottles, sauce bottles, mint bottles, all that kind of thing. He used to blow glass. We went to his factory and saw him blowing glass. All this lovely coloured glass he used to make. My father answered this advertisement, and he got a letter back to say would he go to, they lived at Tolls Hill, would he go for an interview? And these people were, well, they weren't as old as all that, but I suppose they thought they were old to get married. But they thought, Mrs. Manning, Jenny, and now what was Mr. Manning's name, Tom, taught them to dance. Then their two sisters wanted to learn. What was their name? He was a baker in Brixton, in a very good way. He was very short, and she was over 6 foot. Taught them to dance. Then there was the younger sister, Mrs. Davis, and her husband was the head waiter in the House of Commons. And we used to go there and have some very nice evenings, you see. And they had a room that ran right the way the length of the house, very old-fashioned house, three-storied houses, you know. And they would get a lot of friends there, and we'd have a nice little social and dance, should we?
Mm.
Now, I wrote to Jimmy, no, Mr. Manning died. Now, wait a minute. Now, there was another doctor. Doctor, he's a lovely Irishman, he was a lovely man. He came down. He used to come to dinner sometimes on a Sunday, but it was very late because in those days they opened their surgeries on Sundays. Mr. Manning died, and Mother and Dad went over to stay there with Ginny for a little while, you know, help get ship shape. And he came back again. And then when my mother died, Mrs. Manning wanted to marry my father.
Oh, really?
But it never came to that. I was very pleased. She was a secret drinker, poor thing. She'd go for years without touching anything. Then she'd have a break. Then she'd sell the house, she'd sell everything, her clothes and everything.
Who was Gordon? Does that ring a bell at all?
There's another man from Henley's.
Gordon was a man from Henley's,
yes,
involved with
he
dancing.
Lived here, in Ilford here.
What was the Manchester? And what was it? Was it a restaurant?
The Manchester.
He's talking about meeting Harry Renton.
That's right.
And said, we went to lunch at Manchester, but I only had 1 hour.
Yes.
And that a man sat next to me who absolutely reeked of scent.
That was the man she should marry, Harry Winton. That was the man. He went to see her in Holloway.
Did he?
Yes, he went to see her in Holloway.
Was he in love with her?
Yes, he was. But you see, he went to the war and he had the hole in his stomach.
Oh, he was the man who was so badly injured.
Yes, you see.
Because she says here, you know, that she helped him to find his flat in Moscow called Kensington.
That's right.
That's true.
Yes, yes.
Ah.
I think.
Did she ever tell you that she had any feelings for him?
Well, he used to write to her, you see. And I used to say to her as a kid, are you going to marry her? You see. So she said, well, I might. And then Percy Thompson came up. But where he came from or how he came from, where she met him, I've no idea.
Oh, that's a pity.
I've no idea. Where she met him, how she met him. There was a whole nice little crowd of friends they had. They used to come, my mother used to, and sometimes we'd have a little tiny whist drive. It starts off, a whist drive. Then we'd have a little singing at the piano.
Mm.
And then my mother would bring in a supper. Mm. And we'd have in those days a tin quite as tall as that for sixpence, which was a lot of money, a pink salmon.
Mm.
And my mother would warm that. And make some mashed potatoes and a vegetable and a sweet, and we'd all sit down to dinner, all these and I met all their friends, very nice boys, but I was a very, very shy person, shy, always.
So you don't know where the Manchester was or what that was?
That would be somewhere in the city, I should imagine.
Yes. Now she also says, this is connected with you thinking at one time that Percy was interested in you.
Yes.
She says here, sarcastically, when Avis came over on Wednesday, although it was 11:30 before she went, he insisted on seeing her to the tram, and when I offered to come with him, he was most emphatic in his no. I expect he wanted to ask her about you, had she seen you, etc., etc. But do you remember him insisting on...
I remember him taking me to the tram sometimes, not always.
What would you talk about when he would take you to the tram?
I should imagine something that might have happened in the house, or something we had done together, or something we might be going to do together.
Who is Molly?
I can't think of this.
Saw Molly this morning. Darlint, if you saw her, you say at once, the same as you did about the girl in the Strand. Do you remember? What is she doing to herself? She looked awful. Her face and lips are rouged terribly, and thick black lines penciled under her eyes. And her face is fearfully thin, fallen in under the cheekbones. Here she mentions the Ilford Hippodrome.
Mm-hmm.
This letter she writes on April the 24th, 1922. And she says that she went to the Waldorf to lunch and stayed on till the dance tea.
Yes.
I only danced once, a foxtrot. I think I must be waiting for you. She was saying she didn't feel like dancing.
He wasn't a dancer for you,
I know. No, wasn't he?
No.
We left the Waldorf at 6:20 and met Avis at 6:30 and went with her to buy a costume.
That's right. I had a real costume.
Now, where did you meet them? Can you remember?
I would meet them at the Waldorf, I should imagine.
You would have met them at the Waldorf, and was that with her and Percy?
Oh, yes, yes.
And where, do you remember where you went to get that costume?
Yes, do I not?
Where?
Now, what's the name of the market up there? In Oxford Street. It's a brown costume, and on the pockets here, were outside patch pockets, had braid going. And it looked like little roses to train up it. And I had ordinary stockings, and I bought a pair of brown suede shoes to go with it. I think they were in the Dolce's in Oxford Street. And a pair of gloves and all, everything. Now, what was the name of the market there?
In Berwick Street Market.
Berwick Street Market, yeah.
But in those days, were there clothing? Because these days, there's no clothing. They only have vegetables. Only fruit and vegetables and flowers now.
Oh, they had everything there. And stalls in the road.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I haven't been to Berwick Street for years.
Did Edie not go with you into any of the big stores, like Swan and Edgar's or Selfridge's?
I haven't the money for that.
Those were too expensive in those days. Ah.
That's too expensive.
And did you ask Edie to go with you because she was good at choosing?
Yes, she was good at choosing. Ah. If I'd have gone and bought something, she'd have said, buy that old-fashioned thing.
Did Edie buy all her things in Berwick Street Market?
A lot of them she bought.
She mentions having tea in bed with you at 41. When you stayed there, did you used to nip into her bed or something?
I must have done.
You don't remember?
No, I don't remember that, but if she said so, I would say that was the truth.
She also mentions the bottle that you found, and
the
so that
bottle, yes.
Now she also says that at one time there was a mysterious. She received an Easter egg and a Christmas parcel, and she didn't know who they were from. Did she ever mention them to you?
I didn't know of anything like that, and I don't know why Percy Thompson didn't tell my father. Would they come from Bywaters?
I think they probably came from Percy.
From himself?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Or that they're just a fantasy of hers.
Yes, yes, yes.
I think that perhaps she was saying that to make Freddie feel jealous.
Yes, yes, yes.
She mentions you here. Now, she's writing this letter on the 1st of May, 1922. We have changed our minds about Llandudno.
Yes.
It is too expensive, and we are going to Bournemouth July the 8th. And while Avis was over last night, he asked her to come with us. The suggestion was nothing to do with me. It was entirely his. And although I wouldn't have suggested such a thing for the world, I'm glad because if things are still the same and we do go, a third party helps make you forget.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, was it Percy that asked
yes,
you?
He asked me to go with him. And I said, well, what about Edie? What does she say? You see?
And what did he say?
He said, I'm asking you. It doesn't matter about her. I'm asking you.
Why do you think he asked you?
I don't know if he had a dust up and he thought, you know, that if I came there I might have a dampening feeling on her and she would respond a bit more. You see, I knew so little of their married life.
Hmm.
In those days, of course, we never talked about marriage or anything like that, like they talk about it today, and what you're going to do and what you're not going to do and how many children you're going to have and all this, that and the other.
Now, she says something here about you, which I don't know what you would feel about it, because I think she's being quite nasty here.
Let's hear it.
She's saying, and this letter isn't dated, but it's obviously in May 1922.
It's to go to Freddie?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether Avis liked the books or not.
Likes the
books? Liked the books or not, she's saying. Obviously there were some books that you had all read.
Yes, if she bought
her and Freddie, she bought a book and gave it to you and then she gave it to Freddie
yes,
or something.
I always read everything she had.
But if you asked her why she did like it, or did she not, she couldn't say. Could she, do you think? She couldn't discuss each character as we do. She wouldn't remember enough about them. She would only remember the general theme of the book, so
yes.
Why ask?
Yes, that's probably right.
Now, is she saying that because she thinks she's cleverer than you?
Oh, no, I don't think so. No, that's just as she thought.
Well, would it be true?
It probably might be. You see, she's talking about books there that she's lent me. And things that struck her in a book might not have sunk in as far as I was concerned. And another thing is, things that she thought, two different people have different views and different means and manners of things, don't they? Oh no, she wasn't being clever there. That's just what she thought. No, she wasn't being nasty there. Oh, she'd have been a bit more curt if she'd been nasty. She'd come right straight off the reel.
Was she considered to be outspoken?
Yes, sometimes. Oh, yes, I was going to say, put that on the chair. Yes. My father said both we girls were much too outspoken. He always used to tell me I'd get into prison by being so outspoken. And I used to say, well, that's all right if you come and throw me a bum, Dad.
Did you ever have any holidays together as children?
We very seldom had any holidays, we couldn't afford it. But when Grandma and Granddaddy moved from Dalston down to Speen, We used to go there for our holidays.
Speen in Buckinghamshire.
Buckinghamshire, yes.
S-P-E-E-N.
That's right, Speen.
What sort of a place is that?
Well, it was the most beautiful little place you could see. And opposite Grandma's cottage was the Oxford and Cambridge grounds where Granddaddy used to stand at the gate and see the foxes come over.
So you used to have a country holiday there?
Yes, it was a country holiday.
All the children?
Yes.
All go together?
Yes, yes. And that's how my grandma used to see all her grandchildren.
Yes.
They all used to take it in turn to go down at certain times.
Yes. What used to happen? Edie had her birthday on Christmas Day.
Yes.
And so did anything special happen to Edie? Did she feel that she missed out on her birthday?
Well, my mother always said she did. Mm. You see? Now, my mother's wedding day was on the 4th of December. Her birthday was on the 17th and Christmas Day was on the 24th.
Mm.
And 25th, I should say. She always said she lost a lot by being like that, you see. But I don't think so. My mother, she was a very, very good plain cook. And she would go out of her way to make a very nice little show for her.
You mean on Christmas Day?
Yes.
So you used to have a big feast?
We always had a big do Christmas Day, always. And my father was a man. Christmas Day, it sounds funny, we always started with a sardine on toast.
Mm.
Then we had soup. Then we had our poultry. Christmas pudding. Nuts and wine. Always.
Enormous meal!
Yeah, always did. Always did. And my father always got up. He always said grace that day.
Mm.
Always said grace. Other days we always had to say our own, but he said grace. And sit down, and the first thing he'd do was toast my mother. Always toast my mother. I seen her with her tears running down her eyes, you see.
But she never liked to be sentimental,
no,
did she?
No. She was a bit of a hard nut there. Well, you see, in those days it wasn't done. Today, it's all the other way about.
Mm. Did you and Edie share a bedroom when you were children?
Yes, when we were children. And then when my cousin came to live with us, cousin Edie Garnet, I think I had to put you up in the bedroom.